25. Harar's priestship and its military escort approached the Hapes cluster, following the reports of sightings of their stolen frigate. There, Kalila said, stabbing at the living map with a taloned finger. Tiny luminous creatures moved slowly across the screen, marking the place where the Yamisk had discerned the signature of the stolen ship. There was a definite pattern. The thief was venturing farther out of Hapen space each time. The next foray would take her directly into the priest ship's path. The warrior glanced at Harar, his split lips stretched in a leer of anticipation. "The Warmaster will have his Jedi sacrifice. We hunt," he snapped at the crew. "Summon every ship within communication range that has engaged this would-be trickster. She has hidden long enough in the shadow of Yun-Hala. Soon those who whisper words of heresy will see this infidel for the pitiful creature she is." As the crew hurried to do Kalila's bidding, Harar settled down in an observation seat and prepared to watch the battle. A now familiar prickle edged down his spine as he prepared to confront the Jedi. Kalila took the command chair. His long, knobby finger caressed the nodes as he gathered information. "The Kastar is approaching." The priest glanced toward his commander. "Alone?" "With an escort." The warrior's sneer was visible beneath the hood. "One small ship." A strange wave of disappointment swept through Harar. He had expected better from Jaina Solo. "Capture them both." When Kip emerged from hyperspace, his controls immediately began to flash warnings. The programmed hyperspace jump had brought him directly between two flanks of Yuuzhan Vong ships. Immediately, all the lights began to converge on his location. Soon, they'd be in visual range, and they would know that he wasn't flying the stolen Yuuzhan Vong frigate. More, they'd know that there was no trickster, except for the one who'd sent an X-Wing up to project the stolen ship's unique signal. "Planned this a bit tight, didn't you, Jaina?" he murmured. A sharp jolt hit Kip's fighter, and sensors flared out a low shield warning signal. One of the ships was using its Dovin Basal to strip off his shields. Kip boosted up the inertial compensator, expanding the protection this system gave to ship and pilot several meters, and moving it out beyond the ship's normal shields, a trick invented by Gavin Darklighter early in the war. Even as he did, he realized that this was no solution. Gavin had not been flying alone. Two coral skippers closed in, and again Kip felt the tug and pull of the gravity beams. He dialed down the inertial compensator. Too much stress and it could pull the ship apart from the inside. A second X-Wing exploded out of the darkness of space. A blue flash burst from it, and the big ship dissolved in a bright flare. The coral skippers released their hold on Kip's fighter and circled around to deal with this new threat. His comm crackled. "Get out of there, Kip," Jaina warned, "and leave you alone? I don't think so." "Turn off the gravitic transmitter. Lower left console. Yellow dial. Find a ship about the trickster's size. Strafe it. I'll be right behind you." A faint smile curved Kip's lips. He glanced at the screen and selected a target, then relayed its coordinates to Jaina. The two X-Wings swept toward the frigate analog. Kip leaned on the splinter shot trigger. Hundreds of underpowered bolts sprayed the coral ship. A small black hole swallowed most of them, but many of the small lasers found a mark. So, too, did some of the small concussion missiles Jaina fired. "The seed's been planted," Jaina said. "Let's go." Kip turned his X-Wing into a rolling turn and then shot off toward the mists. The stars stretched into lines, echoing the smile that spread over his face. The seed had been planted, all right. Kalila removed the cognition hood and nodded to his secondary pilot. He turned to Harar and brought himself up at sharp military attention. "Eminence, the Kastar has been secured." The priest rose and followed the warrior to the large bay that filled the entire lower level of the priest ship. Warriors ringed the captured ship. "Open it," the commander ordered. Before anyone could respond, the hatch irised open and a small ramp lowered. The heavy tread of a warrior in Vondoon crab armor thudded down the ramp. "What is the meaning of this?" he thundered. His ire faded into slack astonishment as he found himself face to face with Kalila. He did not seem to notice that the commander was equally astonished. The warrior pilot fell to one knee, fists thumping his shoulders. "Command me. My life is yours." Harar moved forward. "You will report to the Coral Skipper Bay. A ship will be given you. This one requires the attention of the Shapers." The pilot rose, saluted again, and strode away. Harar dismissed the warriors with a single curt gesture. The priest turned to Kalila, suppressing an unholy impulse to gloat. "This is not the Kistar," he said with what he thought to be admirable restraint. "Perhaps none of the ships we encountered was." "One of them will be," the warrior snarled. He snapped his gaze up to Harar's. "We need more ships. Jaina Sola will be found, and she will be sacrificed. This I swear by the goddess she blasphemes." Jaina adjusted the cognition hood and picked up the standard comm device Lobaka had installed in the Trickster. "Get ready," she warned the pilots flying with her. "I'm sensing a small fleet coming out of hyperspace. They should be within firing range soon." "Too vapin' soon," another pilot retorted. A faint, nervous chuckle wafted through the open comm, dying quickly as the Yuuzhan Vong fleet streaked out of the blackness of hyperspace. Coral skippers veered swiftly away from larger corvette and frigate analogs, scattering into well-disciplined ranks. Behind them were three oddly shaped vessels that defied classification. Starlight gleamed off the polished black facets of a large, gem-like ship. Jaina's eyes narrowed. She remembered that ship from Mirker. It had arrived just as she and the other Jedi escaped. This would be the priest's ship. Well, it was in for a few surprises. "Just like in practice," Kip's voice put in. A metallic beep and whir came over the comm. "More advice from 01?" one of the pilots guessed. "You might say that. He observed that we can proceed as we did in practice, at least until the inevitable variables occur." "I can live with that," the pilot shot back. "One droid's variable is another person's luck." Jaina smiled faintly. In Rogue Squadron, pre-battle chatter was strictly discouraged. Kip maintained that it kept the pilots loose and ready to react. At any rate, it kept them from dwelling too darkly on the battle ahead. "Why do you call your astromech droid 01? A low-pitched female voice asked. A smile fell off Jaina's face as she recognized Shankir, the Chiss female who flew with Jag. The Chiss woman had maintained her distance, flying every mission and keeping to herself. But her strange red eyes seemed to follow Jaina, echoing and even magnifying Jag Fell's dubious opinion of the scruffy rebel pilot. "It's a bad joke based on old technology," Kip explained. "The droid belonged to a Mon Calamari philosopher who was some sort of expert in ancient cultures and technology. Apparently, there was a computer system based on binary code, and the Mon Cal was fond of saying simplicity can be achieved. Life is all just zeros and ones." "Binary code. That explains a few things about your droid," Jaina quipped, and was rewarded with a rude, metallic buzz. A flare of plasma scorched the sky, falling short of the Hapen fleet. "First phase is yours, Colonel Fell," she said. Jag acknowledged with a double-click. The two Chiss claw craft vectored sharply away, and 10 Hapen fighters followed them. They broke up into tight formations of four, each of which singled out a coral skipper for attack. They sent out a coordinated barrage of laser fire, as well as other, smaller projectiles that slipped between the Dovin Basil's shielding bursts and embedded deep in the rough coral hull. "Your turn, Kip," she prodded. The rogue Jedi took 3 X-Wings and peeled away, leaving Jaina's frigate alone and apparently unprotected. Lobaka moaned anxiously. They watched as the coral skippers advanced, battling their way through Jag's disciplined squadron. "Most of them should have the repulsors by now. Get ready," she said slowly. "And now." The Wookiee broadcast a signal to the repulsor devices, and suddenly 2/3 of the attacking coral skippers whirled away, responding to the gravitic messages informing them that the trickster was now behind them. "Here's where it gets interesting," Jaina murmured. She ordered the frigate to advance at maximum speed. As they soared into the midst of the Yuuzhan Vong fleet, Lobaka prepared to activate the small repulsor units attached to the skips. Streaks of disabling plasma flared toward Jaina, all of them aimed at the underside of her ship. By now she understood the trickster well enough to follow this strategy. Numanor's ship was heavily armored, with an extremely thick lower hull. Attacks to this section activated the Dovin Basal, allowing other ships to generate gravitic tractor beams to pull Jaina in. But Jaina didn't allow them to distract her Dovin Basal. She wove the frigate through the battle, twisting and dipping in the wildest and most reckless flight of her life, daring the enemy to follow and fire upon her. In the confusion that followed, the Yuuzhan Vong ships relied upon their sensors, which in turn directed their fire to whatever ship was currently broadcasting the trickster's signal. Not every ship was as well armored as Jaina's. 2 coral skippers went up in bright, brief flames. Suddenly, Lobaka howled in alarm. "A glitch!" Jaina yelled back. "No glitches. You can't broadcast the signal to more than 1 ship at 1 time." Even as she spoke, the Wookiee's mistake led to a happy accident. The 3 Yuuzhan Vong skips receiving the signal converged on one another. A simultaneous eruption of plasma exploded from all 3 ships, followed by a secondary explosion that reduced them to a massive spray of coral shards. "Glitches can be good," Jaina conceded. As the battle devolved from one level of chaos to another, Harar's growing superstition moved toward terrified belief. The Jedi twin was performing seemingly impossible feats of movement, strategy, and destruction. With 1 ship, she evaded their best pilots, destroying some of their swiftest skips. She was nowhere and everywhere. All around him, the crew members began to murmur the name Yun Harla in a mixture of awe and dread. The priest could not bring himself to chastise them for this heresy. Kalila strode into the control room, his scarred face grim. "How do you wish to proceed, Eminence?" The priest considered only for a moment. This decision might end his career, but it was the only reasonable option. "Order the retreat." The survivors returned to the Hapen dock, spilling out of their ships with cheers and hoots of laughter, falling into back-thumping embraces. Jaina smiled faintly as she strode down the trickster's ramp. The task she had in mind was far from finished, but they'd made a good start. She was lifted off her feet and spun around in an exuberant circle. Kip set her down, beaming. Jaina felt Jag Fell's approach. Her exuberance dimmed as she turned to face the young colonel. "That was astonishing. If you ever feel in need of a title, you should consider commander. I'd be happy to consider you in that light." "Gee, a girl can't hear that too often," Jaina said dryly. A flicker of puzzlement entered Jag's eyes. Before he could ask, a tall, blue-skinned female strode over. "No Chiss would fly under this woman's command," the Chiss said sternly. "I am surprised, Colonel Fell, to hear you use words such as commander with such imprecision." In Jaina's current mood of dark exhilaration, it was easy to shrug off the Chiss's comments. It wouldn't be the first time the Chiss female, not to mention her human commander, had revealed a deeply inbred arrogance. So she didn't think much of it when Shonkir pulled Jag aside to give him a private earful. Later that night, the pilots were celebrated as heroes in the vast city square. Jag Fell did not attend the ceremony. Jaina smiled and danced, but all the while she wondered what the Chiss pilot had said and why she cared about any of it. Far away, in the Skywalker quarters on the hidden Jedi base, Luke settled his sleeping son carefully into his cot. He stood for a long moment, gazing into the tiny face. A nameless dread seized him, a fear for this child that went beyond any concern he'd ever had over his own life. Luke searched his feeling through the Force and found that his Jedi instincts on this matter were almost neutral. Ben was in no immediate danger, and the aura of the future did not hang over Luke's sudden fear. The surge was something different, something that any parent, and perhaps every parent, might experience. Han and Leia entered the room. Luke's sister came up beside him and wrapped her arm around his shoulders. "Parenting is the most terrifying thing I can imagine, even under the best of circumstances," she said softly. "When you bring a child into dangerous times, it's even worse." Luke felt the grief and guilt lurking beneath her calm tones. No response came to him. What words could mend the loss of two children? So he merely returned her embrace, trusting his brother-in-law to find a way to lighten the moment. Han cleared his throat and manufactured a wry grin. "I don't know what you're worried about, Luke. Anything that wants to get near Ben has to go through Mara."
"Me?"
Mara retorted in kind. "I can just imagine how you'd react if someone intruded on Jaina's space." Han's face suddenly went blank. His wife pushed away from Luke and rushed over.
"What is it? What's wrong?"
"I remember starting that fight," he said slowly, "and I remember why. Ta'a Choom's ambassadors made an offer of marriage on a soldier's behalf. Not for you, Leia, but for Jaina." Leia's eyes flew into rounded moons.
"Well, that would certainly explain the mess you made of your knuckles. What did they offer?"
"A trade. We don't try to talk Jaina out of marrying a soldier. They don't hand over the refugees."
"That's ridiculous," Mara put in. "Jaina would never agree to a trade."
Now that the first jolt of surprise had passed, Leia wasn't so sure.
"I almost did."
"What about Tenennial Joe?" Han demanded. The three Jedi exchanged a concerned look. Mara fielded the question.
"Unless her left hook is a lot better than yours, I'd say she's in trouble."